You're listening to Cross Border. Let's continue here in Ezekiel. We're in chapter 16, verse 45. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. Thou art the sister of thy sisters, a daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. You know, and that's what they teach in America today, is that children are a curse. And of course, they wouldn't say that because they like to do everything. Oh, it's for the children. And they do reprehensible things for the children, but they do it in the name of the children. At the same time, they loathe children so much so that they kill them before they're born. Good mother, right? Kill your child before it's born. That loatheth her husband and her children. Thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. And your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. Amorite. And I believe that's not meant to be a nice thing. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou walked in their ways, after their ways, yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were very little thing, thou wast corrupt more than in all thy ways, more than they in all thy ways, as I live, saith the Lord God. Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took away as I saw good. So we see in Sodom the true sin, the idolatry that led to the abominations that are coming upon America right now and growing steadily and faster than you can imagine. More states now are recognizing, you know, it's even abominable to say, but homosexual marriage, nothing gay about it. And so what was their sin? What was it in Sodom? And let's see, the iniquity. Okay, behold, this was the iniquity of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Oh, you know, it's on America. You know, I mean, it's so fast. We have fullness of bread and abundance of idleness, which is growing every day because there's no jobs. Because of the judgment, our Heavenly Father has raised up wicked men in the governments, and they've taken all of your industry and all of your jobs and sent them to other lands. And now all you have is fullness of bread and idleness, and the judgment is that famine is coming. But that was the sin of Sodom. And also says, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And that's the national sin of America too. No one, and I'm speaking of the world here, because I know that the people of Yahuwah, his people, the people that are living in his kingdom, are the most generous people on earth. They give out of their lack, even. They give to the poor. They send for missions out of their lack. But how about the rest of the nation? How about those who are not called by his name? They do not give. They don't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. You know why they don't? Because they don't have to. Because the government robs them and their neighbors and takes care of it for them and robs them of the opportunity for true compassion and true charity. The government takes care of it. So in this way, people don't have to give. As a matter of fact, they feel proud that the government does it for them, robs their neighbor. And that's not the same thing as charity. That's not happening on a personal level where you receive a reward from our Heavenly Father when the government steals from you or your neighbor to give to the poor. And why would the government even need to do that? why did the churches, those corporate churches out there, not fight against the government to keep them from doing that and entering into the same sin as Sodom? Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. They don't strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they don't take care of the widows and orphans. Yeah. And here's what they do with their widows and orphans. The families don't take care of them according to the family law and the structure of his government for family in the law. They turn them over to the state. They can collect SSI or welfare or Social Security. So they're relieved of the obligation of taking care of the widows and the orphans and the poor and the needy among them, because the government does it for them. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, and what is a haughty abomination? Well, the haughty abomination is like that mouth of the beast going around to all the countries of the world and telling them that if they want to be our friend, that they have to have homosexual rights. Homosexual rights are human rights, and human rights are homosexual rights, and only they say gay. And as I say, there's nothing gay about it. The rights of sodomizers. And that, I call that haughty, you know, and it's kind of comical when I think about it, going around trying to bribe nations into the sharing in sodomy and legislating sodomy and the rights of sodomites, or we won't give you money. We won't continue to allow you to take advantage of, what do they call that when they give money to other nations? Oh, I forget it. But anyway, money, where do they get this money? They borrow it and put the people in debt while the nation's going broke. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if those other nations just scoff and go, we'll take your money as long as you're stupid enough to borrow it and give it to us, because we know that's coming to an end real soon. Isn't that right? Oh, foreign aid, that's what they call it, foreign aid. Yeah. You want to continue to receive our foreign aid? Yes, you must give sodomites the same rights as other people and redefine the word marriage. That's fairly haughty. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Yeah, he's going to take them away, all right. Judgment is coming. War, famine, pestilence, it's coming to America. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Chapter 16, verse 51. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. And you see that they justify it. They have all their ways of justifying it. How can we not allow these people to have the same rights as those people? It's only fair. We justify it. They justify it. I don't justify it at all. Thou also which hath judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins. Thou that hast committed more abominable than they are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sister Sodom and her daughter shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughter shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by my mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, that's Adonai Yahweh, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, and hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thine younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am Yahuwah. That thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel chapter 17 and verse 1. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which hath diverse colors, came into Lebanon, and took the highest branch of cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs, and carried it into a land of traffic, and he set in it a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land, and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed by it a great waters, and set it as a willow tree, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him, so it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle, with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shoot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, Shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof, and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Moreover, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. He hath taken the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him, and hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be base, and it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? Of course, the speaking of Israel in rebellion, sending ambassadors to Egypt that they might come, bring their army and their horses and help Israel out against the king of Babylon. But the Heavenly Father says they rebelled. He rebelled against him. They rebelled against him in sending ambassadors. He said, Shall he escape that doeth such things, or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? No, they broke the covenant. going to break the covenant with the Heavenly Father and be delivered by the help of the nations round about them. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up the mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. With all his fugitives, with all his bands, shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all the winds. And you shall know that I, Yahuwah, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord, Adonai Yahuwah, I will also take of the highest branch of the cedar, and will set it, and will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon the high mountain, and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, Yahuwah, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 1. The word of the Lord, Yahuwah, the word came to me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And here we see that the Heavenly Father, he holds each one of us individually responsible for our own life. There comes a point, and yes, we are trained by our fathers, and that's what it means. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and you know, when you eat something sour, it sets your teeth on edge, and it sets the children's teeth on edge, saying that the fathers are responsible for the sins of their children. But our Heavenly Father is merciful. And there's a lot of truth, you know, to the visiting of the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. And mainly that is through learned behavior. But there comes a time in our life when we become fully grown, when we have a visitation. Every man, you know what I'm talking about, man, especially if you're following him. You know you had your visitation or you wouldn't be following him. Comes a time when the Holy Spirit gives us a visitation and an opportunity to repent from our wicked ways and the wicked ways that we learned from our fathers, to break those chains of learned behavior and set our foot in his kingdom and start walking in the ways that please him. Cross the border into his kingdom. Learn obedience from him. Live your life in a way that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. He is calling. Comes a time in every man's life where every man has an opportunity to put off the past and have their mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, and to continue in therein and work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Behold, says our Almighty Creator, all souls are mine, As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. At the same time, his mercy allows us to repent of our sins, so that they're washed away and we're clean. When he looks on us, those who have chosen by faith to receive the work of the Redeemer of mankind provided by the Almighty to wash away their sins, we stand before him clean. He sees no sin upon us as long as we choose to walk in his kingdom and remain in his kingdom and endure in his kingdom. Yes, we endure the temptations and the trials that are trying to draw us back out of his kingdoms into the region and the realm of darkness. And we endure all of that in his kingdom. We endure crucifying the deeds of the flesh. We endure having his law written upon our heart, contrary to our fallen nature. That's how we remain in his kingdom. And with that grace that only comes through his Son, we can enter boldly into the throne room as if there is no stain upon us before the Heavenly Father. We go boldly before the throne room and we bring our petitions, our requests, and we let them be made known to him, and we rest in his peace. And you know, I've noticed something through my life. 40 years I've been walking in his kingdom, and probably the first half of that stumbling a whole lot, even falling down a few times and losing my way desperately, but eventually getting back up and regaining the road. But I found that most of the time, the Heavenly Father says no when we let our request be made known. That's why he said, "And the peace of God, which passes all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Yahshua, his Messiah." Believe it, it's true. You're listening to Cross the Border